It's good to be in the house of God with sons and daughters of the King. Which path are you on? What is your inheritance? And how long till we find it? We don't know how much time we have here, but I really appreciated the two paths that were set out for us this morning and the choices that we have to make. And there's a sense where the message just is going to continue to fall into that line and be built on that foundation. I'm going to borrow a title that I heard a short presentation on. The speaker wasn't given much time, so he didn't get very far, but he introduced it at least. And the message title I have this morning is, How Many Apps Does a Man Need? How many apps does a man need? How many smartphones are here this morning? Pull them out and show them. No ladies? Oh, just a few. If they're on, or turn them on, how many apps do you have on your phone? How many have less than 10? If you scroll screen to screen, I don't know how many fit on a screen, 20, maybe 25, maybe more, maybe less. What's your total? How many have from 20 to 40? 40 to 60? 60 to 80? 80 to 100. 100 to 120. How many of you have 150 plus? I don't see any hands. Well, over the years, I went phone to phone and accumulated a lot of apps and spent little time deleting my apps. And I think I surpassed anybody here and how many apps I had. When you're looking for a house, well, you might as well get three realtor apps and search them all, right? That way you get notifications and this and that, and everybody has their source. Maybe you have go to a show and they say download our app, and you have a weather app. But which one's most accurate? AccuWeather, Apple, or Google Maps? And I have my preferences and my family. At least my wife knows what my preference is on that. this and that. And we accumulate things, and after a while we say, wait a minute, what's really going on here? And what is intended to happen with apps soon is defeated. And we'll look at a little of that later. How many apps does a man need? They say that 84% of teenagers have smartphones. How young of a child should have a phone? It's fascinating to give a young child a phone and see where they go and how they get there. They get places we have no idea how they got there sometimes. Why do we have apps? It's a question. And this speaker, it's actually Brother James Martin at the Compass. Compass is an internet filter, and they gave a presentation a year ago or so. And he mostly talked about that we use apps in many ways to pursue being like God. And it's not all wrong. To increase in knowledge. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And people develop apps to discover and to share knowledge. The weather forecast, the news report, data. It's also to obtain power. God is all powerful. To obtain power to create and accomplish things. Yes, you can get on your phone and you can make a purchase and you can go to town and pick up your food. Saves you time. We can use it to manage our finances. We can use it to set goals and to accomplish them. Maybe it's a weight loss program, tracking calories, or how far you walk to track a lot of things. We use it a lot for communication, to reach people, maybe just one or two, maybe it's a group, family, maybe it's a group of friends. And apps have enabled that in incredible ways, things that we couldn't even dream of. When did you get your first phone for the older ones? Many of us, I don't know, between 25 and maybe 30 years ago. I remember when Joe Ball had his bag phone in his truck, and that thing would, when the phone would ring, the horn would beep, and I was fascinated with that as a child, the development of the phone. And now we all carry them in our pockets. It's an incredible invention. We use apps for inspiration and at times even entertainment. And there are many things beyond. Those are just the four that stood out to me. As I mentioned, many of these apps are in pursuit of being as God is. Why? Because we are created in the image of God and function much like God does. Things that are valuable to Him are valuable to us. God is omniscient, knows everything, and apps are developed in pursuit of that. God is omnipotent, the power. God is omnipresent, and through our communication, we attempt to be present more places. At least in a limited way. We know that we can only be at one place at one time. And we know that God does things for His enjoyment and pleasure, and there's a certain amount of that there as well that I don't believe is all wrong. And so one of the truths that in its purity, technology is created, apps are designed to give us power to be like God. But it's also true, Genesis 3:5 said that when you partake of this fruit, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, that man's fallen nature pursues this power to challenge and to deviate from God's plan. We could ask the question, why does Apple's insignia have an apple that's bitten as representing its company? And I believe that's part of the development of technology is the promotion of evil, the pursuit and promotion of evil. The burden of this message is to challenge us to use technology to pursue and honor God, not self, not sin. The power of apps, yes, apps are tools to accomplish goals, right? They should be. But we know... And we know that apps make great promises. I thought of three things. Simplify, do hard things easily, save time, and add spice to your life. Add a variety. Life's boring, just get on an app. The promise of apps. Well, we know that statistics tell us that 86% of people, the moment they awake, reach for their phone. Are you in that 86%? Am I? Most of them carry it with them and find their security in it. And if all phones are turned in and people are asked instead to sit in silence, most people go to pieces. This is in society. Without their phone. They've lost their security. They've lost their identity, especially youth who have grown up with it. And they're not whole until they have their phone in their hands. They become anxious and distraught. Also, just the statistic, 80% of people check their phone as the last thing they do at night. And then in addition to that, 30% of people wake up during the night just to check their phone. What have been the effects of phone apps on the brain? I'd like to look at that just briefly. Smartphones have revolutionized communication and access to information, but extensive research shows they can harm brain function, mental health, and cognitive processes. Number one is reduced attention span and cognitive control. And I'll just call it distraction. Developers design apps to trigger notifications to bombard us at any time in the day and feed us with, quote, important information, much of which, of course, is unimportant. How many times have you set out to accomplish a task and your phone interrupts you, you stop to check it, slows you down, and maybe even forget what you set out to do? And as people use this from day to day, smartphones fragment our attention, fragments our attention through notifications and multitasking. Now, there's an interesting fact that as men, we cannot multitask very well. Now, women can do this quite well, and we could go into the explanation of the brain, and I recently heard some information about that, how women have brain connections, and they're connecting all the time between the two sides, and they can keep multiple things going, and men tend to operate without that, and we're more focused. So women have the ability to multitask, and as men, we do poorly at it, at least most of us do. And through that fragmentation, there is the weakening of the brain's prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for focus and decision making. There have been multiple studies, must be about a dozen or more of them, that are referenced here that I'll simply briefly just mention. But the key findings of these, I'll present them. And that one of these is the proximity to our phone reduces available cognitive capacity by 10 to 20%, even silent phones. They're just there as a distraction, and so it's pulling away part of our focus and effort. Heavy smartphone use is linked to 15 to 25% decline in sustained attention, and that is the result of 33 studies with over 100,000 participants in that. That's a different study than I mentioned earlier. Also from fMRI scans on 4,000 plus users, they found that multitasking with apps shrinks gray matter, of course, part of your brain function, in attention networks. The real world impact is that users, users check their phones 150 plus times a day, leading to attention residue, which takes them 23 minutes to recover, you know, and just living under that constant notification. What else? Dysfunction of impaired memory and learning. How many of us rely on our phones to remember? And we have what they call Google brains. We know where to find the information, but we don't remember the information. What this does is this reduces hippocampal activity for encoding memories. What is the hippocampus, if I can even say it right? What is the hippocampus? Your hippocampus is a small part of your brain with a big job. It helps with learning and memory. It converts short-term memory to long-term memories by organizing, storing, and retrieving memories within your brain. The key finding of these studies, and there's quite a few of them, but the one I already mentioned, people remember less if they expect to Google it later. Also, if you spend over 3 hours a day on screen time, it correlates with 12% smaller hippocampus volume in teens, and that excessive use hinders your working memory by 8 to 15%. Students using their phones during lectures retain 10 to 20% less information. That's another that represents, quite a few different studies there that They conclude that. Also, number three is that depression, increased anxiety, and mental health disorders result by using mostly social media. Social media and the FOMO, fear of missing out, disrupt dopamine regulation and heighten emotional reactivity to the amygdala. So we see the tension that results. Studies say that since smartphone adoption in 2012, teen depression rates have continued to rise. An extra hour, each extra hour a day increases depression risk by 13%. Each extra hour that you use on social media apps increase depression risk by 13%. And that was from 40 studies evaluating 400,000 participants. Also, that passive scrolling boosts anxiety by 20%. 70% Well, we know how that works. Social media, when you get on there, people post the best or the worst part of their day. Well, we know which one it is. The best part of their day. And so as they post this distorted reality of their life, looks like people spend their days drinking nice special coffees, right? And going on hikes and riding horses and whatnot. The fun things is what they post. And as we compare that with my boring life and what I'm missing out on, we don't usually post the hard things like the stack of dishes to wash or the pile of laundry to process or the cleanup work that we have to do. No. And so it creates this whole imbalance of presenting our lives and then perceiving the lives of others. What else? We have disruption of sleep and the circadian rhythm interference, and we had that presented some time ago here. But the blue light suppresses melatonin, which is the hormone that causes us to drift off to sleep. Late night scrolling delays sleep onset and reduces sleep stages. 1 hour of pre-bed screen time delays melatonin by 3 hours. Over 2 hours of night use shortens sleep by 1 hour, impairs next day cognition, and is linked to 25% higher insomnia risk. 60% of adults lose 1 hour plus of sleep to phones. Of course, those are estimates. Hopefully we're doing better than that. Disruption. How many things in life do we not accomplish because our key to success in life is hindering us? Something to think about. We could talk about the next one. Number five is dopamine dysregulation and addiction. Apps are addictive. They are designed to stimulate the brain with high concentration of information or some other stimulant, and as that creates a dopamine rush to stimulate the brain, it messes up our balance. And you know, we're created to operate within a balance of hormones, and as the smartphone hijacks those balances and offers us those dopamine rushes, we are tempted to go back for more stimulation. We like what that does for us. This morning, if I told you about a drug that whose rampant use among us is, I wouldn't even have to say among us, but it's just out there, but it's affecting many in a negative way, how most users become quickly addicted and can't resist it for even a short amount of time before they're going back for another fix, and we have all these withdrawal symptoms. Most of us, and I would tell you that I wanted to give it to you, your children, most of us would say, we don't want it, keep it away, that sounds terrible. And yet, we'll do this, we'll give phones to our children, we'll use them ourselves, creating all these problems, and we'll just keep on doing it, right? Well, it's something for us to think about. Addiction and dopamine, a little more on that. 23% of users meet smartphone addiction criteria. 23% of smartphone users are addicted. And it mirrors substance addiction. When they do brain scans, they see the same thing and they see the same patterns. It reduces impulse control by 18%. It's just natural to grab for your phone, right? Withdrawal causes anxiety in 80% of heavy users after 24 hours offline. You just have to get back on. Well, thinking about further damage, it says that technology and the high usage of apps, actually for people who grow up on them, affects the structural brain changes and development in youth. It's number six, structural brain changes in youth. And the key finding of this is that prolonged exposure alters white matter and cortical thickness. Now, cortical is the outer layer of the brain, and especially alters this in developing brains, ages 10 to, young men, did you know that your brain completes development around your low to mid-20s? Ages 10 to 25 is considered a developing brain, and especially among males for later development. Addiction thins the prefrontal cortex, where we mentioned before we make decisions, by 10 to 15%. And 4 hours or more a day is linked to delayed brain maturation. You want to become more mature, put your phone down. How's that for a plan for development? It also correlates with a 20% higher risk of future development of ADHD, people who can't sit still and learn and listen. So what are we supposed to do with all of these? Well, you can use things like screen time that limit the use of the amount of time, set amount of time, and when it's done, you're done. You could also choose to do a digital detox. You know, I'm just going to let my phone for today. Do you have a Sabbath rest for your phone? It's one of the things I came across. We can turn off notifications. You know, every app dinging at every odd time becomes a great nuisance, and I think it's right just to turn them off. It's actually been studied. In 2022, a randomized trial showed that a 4-week restriction in your phone use improved attention by 25% and mood by 15%. So if you want to get happier in life, pull back on the apps. If you want to be able to focus better. Well, there's more that we could talk about by way of the studies, and that was kind of the studies and then their recommendation. But I would like to go to number 7. Apps disconnect us from real relationships. Apps disconnect us. You know, when it's you and your phone, it's easy to take the people around you and to ignore them, focusing on the phone, even though you're connecting with someone, maybe miles, maybe someone not far away or many miles away, but they disconnect us from real relationships. And so it creates a pattern that we are more connected with our phones and in tune with what's happening there than what we are with the people who are sitting right next to us. And it creates a disconnect. It's unfortunate. It also creates a greater connectivity with ourselves than it does with the people around us. Our children, our families, our friends. It becomes us and our screens. Also, number 8, apps desensitize us from the simple joys of life. You know, it takes a big thing now to make me happy. The simple joys, the beautiful fall leaves, the sunset, the humor that sometimes watching and relating to children bring, there's just a lot of things that apps can rob us of the joy and blessing. Apps also encourage us into an unhealthy sedentary lifestyle. You know, where is the energy that we used to see out of youth and children? Give them a phone and they'll just sit. And not only children, it's also true of us adults as well. And so the conclusion of this section is that apps, like many things, take our focus, and it either can take us away from God and His plan for us, or it can enable us and empower us into His will for us. And I believe that it can be a choice. Now, we looked at the negatives, and I believe that in turn there are also positives that are just as powerful, I believe. Guidance for app usage, I would invite you to Ephesians 5. There's just good verses here, and when I think about technology, these are verses that I often think of, plus a variety more. We looked at, I believe, some of the verses at the end of this chapter. I'm not going to take time to read all the verses, but Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God." So in this, there's two paths. There's also many people that we can follow. Are we following God in the interests that we're pursuing on our apps? "As dear children, walk in love as Christ also had loved us and hath given himself for us." And then he goes down a whole list of things that we need to flee: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. And we think about all the communication that happens on our phones, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He talks about the defilement that doesn't have any inheritance with the kingdom of God. He talks about, verse 6, talks about deception that happens, and deception happens all the time with social media. In fact, I just got an email that said that with your email account, you need to update all of your information, and so type it in here. And I forgot one of the key things that I usually do. When I get an email like that, and I use a way outdated, use Juno, which is way one of the first email provider out there, and it's a mistake to use them, I'll say that. Because somebody will send you an email representing Juno, and it's totally malicious, and they don't even catch it, okay? So I just went on there and typed my information in there. I gave them my credit card number, gave them our debit. Fortunately, it's bank card debit. But anyway, a whole bunch of things that I shouldn't have put in there because I forgot to look who this was from, okay? And it's happened multiple times before, but I always looked other times. And I didn't this time, and a day later, I had the bank calling me. "Did you make this charge? Did you make that charge? Did you make the other?" No, I didn't. Cancel the card, get a new card, and move on. Well, let no man deceive you. Deception's rampant. We know it. We get it all the time. We hardly even know who to believe. Is it AI? Is it real? We're living into a extreme age of deception. But anyway, "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not there ye therefore partakers with them." Talks about how that you were in darkness, now you are in light. Verse 9, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Verse 12, "For it is a shame to even talk about the things that they do." 14, "Arise from the dead, Christ will give thee light." Verse 15, I think, especially applies to technology. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine." Talking about addiction and its effects. were in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit and use instrumental music to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's verses 19. Giving thanks. I was impressed with the number of times in my studies that in combating negativity, give thanks. Focusing on what God has done for you, finding our strength in Him. And so we have two groups of people here, a group that is followers of God and children of disobedience. Sound familiar? I think that's what we heard in the devotions. So we're making choices and living in one group or another. What is the guidance that we can find for app usage? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Put a gate on your heart, a gate on your eyes, a gate on your ears. Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, if there be any virtue or praise, think on these things. And so we have a gated heart. I will not open my heart to apps filled with evil. Draw a line. Matthew 5, I was going to hit that later, but I'll just insert it now. If an app is taking you down, what should you do with that app? If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it. For it is better for you to be maimed or halt. It is better for you to do without that app than that you should perish. Right? And so take a look at your apps. It actually might be good for you to do it in the sanctuary or sitting on the couch beside your parent or your son or your spouse. Take a look at your apps and think about what direction is that feed pushing me into? What kind of thoughts does that generate? Is it good? Keep it. Is it bad? It's not worth the effects. Guard your heart and mind. And right along with that, choose apps that inspire, motivate, encourage spiritual development. Two of the apps I have on my phone are Bible apps. And one of them, you can go and click the words and they tell you what they mean in the original Hebrew, Greek, and so forth. And it's a way to find knowledge about God and to receive inspiration. That is simple compared to the old way with strong concordance, and some of you have done that. Looking at the negative, flee idolatry and addiction. Flee it. Exodus 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Apps can easily replace God time. When do we take time to listen to the small, still voice of God? Do we have to have noise, activity? Does the silence bother us? Flee idolatry and addiction. If we're reaching for our phone instead of God, what is it telling us about it? Is it a fully functioning idol in my life? Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. And so I believe it would be prudent for us to track the usage of our phones. And most of them have built-in tools that tell us how much time we spent and where we've spent it. Follow that. What am I feeding on? What's filling my life? Use apps to show love for others. And I think about this in communication. Be kind, be courteous, be gentle. How many people, this is another area where being kind with the usage of our phone, how many people do you pass on the road that you see that are looking down? They see where you are. They see where they want to be. They know they're lined up and so down. A lot. I see it all the time. What are they thinking? If you love your neighbor and even yourself and your passengers, don't text while driving. And I never do it. No, actually I do. I have. I need to stop. It is a danger. Don't look at your phone. Many things can wait. It is against the law, and yet we've created habits that have power over us. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, right? Or your thumbs and fingers on your phone, right? Being kind. Yes, we can use apps to build meaningful and lasting relationships. We can do that. It can be done. Use them for that. You can send encouragements that are not disruptive to an older person, to a friend, to someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling. You can use apps to do that. And that can be a part of the kingdom of God and building his kingdom. Ephesians 5, we read the verse, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Be aware of what the phone is doing to you and its effect. The fragmentation. How do we avoid fragmentation? Well, we can set times to look at our messages. Maybe it's break time at work, and maybe it's evening to look at other notifications. But we can set times. They call it batch checking, where you look at a whole group and then you move on instead of every time a message and here a message and there a message. And after a while, what did it say? 23 minutes till you get back into what you were doing? It can easily be very disruptive. Turn off non-essential notifications. We mentioned that. Use commuting or walk time for audible Bible or prayer. I was listening to a presentation about creating a good family environment, and he said that when you travel, don't just get out the media and play some movie or some story. Use that as interaction time. Find out what's happening in your children's lives and invest in each other. Play games together. One we often play is Alphabet. Sing together. Redeeming the time. Yes, apps can empower us for productive use of our time. We can get more things done if we choose and use beneficial apps. To everything there is a time and a season. In the Old Testament, they were taught to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There is a proper place for phones, in church or out of church. I use mine to look up verses and so forth in church, so I have a right. What do you do with your phone? Now, it's one of those things that it might not be the wisest thing for me to bring my phone into church. It can be a distraction. It's usually Sunday morning when I get notified a summary of how I spent my time the last week. And I wonder, why do they send all these things on Sunday morning when I'm in church? The phone buzzes in my pocket. The Sabbath, practicing rest from my phone. Honoring people when I'm in their presence. Honoring the family rules about phones for youth. Maybe it's mealtime and Dad says no phones at the table. Whatever it is. Time to worship, putting our phone down. To shelf the apps and their effects. Life balance is found by keeping first things first. How many apps does a man need? Historical reference, 30 years ago, how many apps did your parents have or did you have? We know the answer. None. At least not on our phones. Technically, you could call programs on your computer apps that are tools, but we didn't carry them around in our pockets. None. They were successful They were happy and they had none. What is the phone doing to my life? Well, practically, sometimes less is more. I was trying to decide if I should say how many apps I found on my phone when I actually went looking and counted. Most of those apps didn't work because they had been on use so long that the phone is smart enough just to delete it. It needs the processing ability for other things. They didn't work. And some of them, when I tried to actually look at what they had to offer, said it's outdated. It is no more. And so you have all those things to look at and sort through, trying to find which page and where. Sometimes less is more. Apps are intended to aid in productivity. Too many apps slows us down. Delete unused apps to aid in productivity. I remember working with a man who made a lot of what seemed to me to be foolish decisions. And as I related to this man, I would ask him, "So why did you do that? Why did you do this? What are you thinking?" And he would say this, "Why did you do that? Because I can. Because I can." Well, just because we can, we have the ability to with our phones, doesn't mean that we should. Everybody wants you to download and use their free app, but often free isn't actually free. What kingdom do my apps show that I am serving? 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Not all that glitters and chimes and vibrates, not all that glitters is gold, right? We've heard that. Not all that looks valuable has any value. Well, may God give each of you a different perspective about the tools that you have in your pockets. And may God give us wisdom to employ them for Him. It's certainly something that's in development. We could call it the great experiment. How will it turn out? What will we be left with after using devices for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? What is its effect? It's easy for me to blame some of my shortcomings on a lack of sleep, a Google brain, and some things. And I wonder sometimes, how could I help myself if I was willing to pay the price to say no to some of this? And so I want to grow in that, and I also challenge you to that as well. Let's kneel for prayer.